Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Control Alt Azure. I'm Tobias, and I'm back again with UC. What's up?
Hey, Tobias. I realized when I was waiting for us to start recording this episode that I haven't had time much lately to build anything fun for the home. You know, back in the day, we talked about IoT solutions and this and that. But last night, I had a couple of moments where extra time and energy appeared at the same time within me. So what I did is I spun up a local Ollama instance. I think we've talked about Ollama a little bit in the past, on a leftover Intel Nook-based server. And that's now in charge of hosting our family's private ChatGPT instance. It's running on an older NVIDIA GPU, but it's surprisingly fast. And it doesn't substitute stuff like Copilots and whatnot, but it's still fun to have running something private, something more local, and something that evidently breaks, and everybody at home will be yelling at me since it's not working right now when it should. So that's my latest.
So I sense our spare time and how we spend our spare time wildly differs. You talk about LLMs and AI. On my end, not much happened on that end since the last call. Except for the new kitchen being built and the lawn finally getting cut for the first time this year. So the grass is starting to grow. And I think I mentioned in a past episode, I love taking care of my lawn, which is a ridiculous thing you might think. But speaking of the lawn, I am now confident I will use my manual electric mower instead of the robot. I mentioned on the podcast like 3 years ago, I got one of those electric mowers, the robots going over the lawn. But the cuts with the manual cutter is so clean and the straws doesn't get torn as it does by the robot. And now I'm smiling every time I walk past my lawn, which is very small. I do realize I don't have a lot of problems in my life, as you can hear. But my spare time, I don't think about AI. I think about the grass growing in my lawn and how to make it clean cuts and how to make it really aligned and horizontally perfect. I don't know why I spend time on that, but it's a good feeling and it's a good kind of a way to stay analog for me. So that's how I find my energy and my inspiration at the same time.
That sounds like a blissful life for sure. So today we'll be talking about cost management and FinOps with Paola at Microsoft. Welcome, Paola. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone. My name is Paola Annis. I am an engineering manager in the engineering organization. It's called Fast Track for Azure org. I am based in Milano, Italy. And in my spare time, I don't have a lawn because Milan is a pretty crowded city. So I live in an apartment. But we do have a lawn somewhere else, like in the countryside. So we also get to share this part of first world problems, as I call, you know. Last week we planted fruit trees. So I will now have apricots and cherries and prunes and something else.
Wow.
Apples. So that's my satisfaction.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
This sounds awesome for sure. So we'll be talking about cost management, FinOps, and apple trees, and lawn mowing and gardening. So let's start at the top. And for me, FinOps has often been quite a bit of different things, depending a bit on the context on who you're talking with about FinOps. But Paola, how would you define FinOps? What is it?
Yeah, well, I don't have the rule it all ring here. So it's basically my understanding and my experience around what the perception of FinOps is. And it is largely the process. It's the technology, yes. It's everything that is around automation and all you can do with the tools that we have in Azure. And by the way, this also applies to all the other public clouds. So I'm not picky here. It would be applied to everything. But mostly, and this is what I have seen with my experience, it's enduring and it's somehow creating this process of recurring cost control and recurring cost management, which is real the heart of FinOps, because you you, this is not something you can do once and then forget it, because cloud costs are recurring, are on a monthly basis. And so ideally, you will have to do your operations around the financial part of your cloud, at least at a minimum every month.
Yeah,
forever.
I think that sums up my thoughts about this as well. And kind of what you say there, it's a monthly recurring thing. It's something that it's the kind of the long game. It's what I usually think about security as well. Like, you don't do one project with security and then you're done. You have to keep security in your mind at all times, always thinking about it at all angles, at all altitudes, across all teams. And the same goes, I think, with cost optimization and cost management, that it's not something that someone figures out. Like, everyone has a responsibility in making sure that we do things the right way and don't spiral costs. So I think you put that nicely. So let me continue with one question that I have. Like, I've taken a look at FinOps. I've explored the framework and the FinOps Foundation a little bit and really like the guidance we have in there and can find in there. But looking at speaking with customers, like, you're connected to a lot of customer engagements and customers. What is the hardest part of FinOps? Because I know for myself and you see, we've operated cloud solutions both at scale and small solutions. And whether it's a big or a small solution, cost management and cost optimization can be a tricky thing. So looking at FinOps as like a foundational principle or a framework or a methodology, what is the hardest thing?
So that is an excellent question, by the way. I think what I've seen in my experience is the hardest part is action, meaning that everyone has the theory. Everyone gets why they need to do it. Everyone has the technical skills to hunt for savings, for example. Let me give you just one of many recurrent examples. But then at some point when people and companies, they identify opportunities for savings, they are now stuck, because these opportunities for savings require efforts in terms of people working on it, resources, maybe a partner. So there is a cost to the saving. And if you don't have a buy-in from the management, then everything is stuck forever. And you don't get your savings, but you still get everyone complaining that the costs are high. You know what you could do, but your hands are tied. So that's the basically the struggle of everyone doing FinOps today, because and how we help them, for example, is to build into the discipline of FinOps also a way of reporting to the leadership team of their company, because if they know what the work is behind and what the cost team is doing, what are the savings opportunities, what are they worth it, then they can make decisions and they can make things happen. But if you don't make this small connection at the end of the work, you do all the work, you optimize, you find opportunities for savings, you get everything under control, or so you think, and then the very last piece of the process is stuck, where no one can decide what to do next. There is no action there. And that's the worst thing that can happen. It is also, by the way, reflected in this report that you find on the FinOps website, finops.org. There is a state of FinOps, an annual report on what's happening out there. And this year, it clearly says that the executive buy-in is the biggest pain. It's the biggest challenge for customers. I see that reflected every day.
Yeah, I can definitely buy into this one. And with FinOps, we didn't have this sort of term or concept, I recall, in about 2010, 2011, especially when businesses starting moving to Azure and Microsoft 365. Then typically you would get maybe a phone call from somebody asking, could you shut down the virtual machines for us during the weekend, because we're not working during the weekend. And that was sort of the FinOps approach. There was no operations, but there was finance worries, and it since evolved. And I feel we are sort of in the third wave now. The first wave would be shut down stuff we don't use during the weekend and if you're having a summer vacation. The second wave was perhaps moving more to serverless and trying to understand what the cost component would be, since it's not a fixed cost typically. And now with the third wave, I feel we have more businesses, more customers trying to understand better how do we optimize this. So are you noticing any trends with customers in perhaps adopting FinOps now more or considering the cost management aspect as well?
Yeah, well, nearly everyone, I would say the majority of customers are doing FinOps in a way or another. And the maturity stage is different from customers to customers. I would say to follow your metaphor that the third wave, I would call it on demand. So now customers are realizing that because you pay everything in the cloud and there is no reason whatsoever to keep stuff switched on just because it's there, then the on-demand means, okay, I am going to switch on this resource only when I need it, and that's it. I don't even schedule it statically or anything. It's really the best approach to cloud, in my opinion, and that's what I see reflected. But customers are at different maturity levels. We have people using an Excel file to track cost. We have people using a full third-party tool that they bought and maintained. So these are the two extremities. But it really depends on the customers. But all of them realize now that it's okay to switch off resources. It's okay to clean up the unused resources, whatever. They're really understanding that now their applications need to behave in a way that they will use resources only when they are needed.
Yeah, I think this makes sense, and I love that realization. And also, you know, I'm getting a blast from the past when you start mentioning we had to call a department and say, hey, can you turn off the VMs during the evenings and afternoons, all the way to where we are today. And I like this idea of having it on demand, only run whatever you need when you need it. So I want to raise the altitude a little bit again and go back up to a question about recommendations. Like you're in the field and see a lot of this every day. Do you have recommendations to customers now kind of struggling with their cloud cost? What is it that they should take a look at? What can they learn to kind of better improve in this area?
So usually whenever I work on FinOps engagements, the first two questions that I ask are, what are your daily costs by service name? What are your monthly costs by service name? Because customers have built their governance, and so they have subscriptions, they have resource groups, they have their hierarchy of things, and of course they want to track cost as it is, but they need to see the big picture. How much are you spending on virtual machines daily? How much are you spending on storage? Also, because the ratio between storage, for example, and virtual machine usually has patterns that we can identify. And then, so if you see that you're spending an enormous amount of money on storage, for example, that is not tied to any pattern with the number of compute resources that you have, then you might investigate in that sense. But you need to have this first view of how much are you spending. And the daily question is the most important, because costs are daily. So, you see, you mentioned over the weekend, you do nothing. So switch off the stuff. You cannot understand how many people are still keeping stuff switched on in the weekends just because it's there. So now if you know how much money you're burning on a daily basis, suddenly you realize what switching off during a weekend means. And you have an initial idea. Then the second thing, so first ask yourself these two questions. How much am I spending by service name? So by type of cloud resource. And then the second question is, if I find opportunities for savings, how do these opportunities then embed in my organization? How can I make this happen? These are the two most important questions to customers approaching FinOps.
I like this. And for FinOps, businesses definitely think more of that. I tried spending a bit more time in my personal life figuring out what's my FinOps. Do I have stuff running that I shouldn't be using? But if you take it too far in private life or in business, then you're sort of splitting hairs at the end of the day. And you're focusing on that 20% instead of that 80% of the cost. Within the podcast, and Toby probably recalls all of the episodes we've done in the past 4.5 years, but we had one episode on Azure Carbon Optimization. I can't recall when it was, but I do recall we talked about that. And during that, we talked about sustainability, which is often aligned with cost optimization as well. So considering with this viewpoint, maybe, is FinOps linked nowadays to Azure Carbon Optimization? Do you see businesses thinking about carbon optimization and CO2 emissions, or is it strictly about money and cost?
This is a wonderful question. So first of all, I think we released the public preview of this blade in Azure a few weeks ago, the Azure Carbon Optimization blade. So we are serious about that. And to answer your question, cost is one of the strongest proxies for carbon emissions, meaning that especially in the public cloud. And it's clear the equation, you know, because if you are using less resources, you're paying less money, but you are also decreasing the energy that is, and therefore the carbon emissions that are produced to run those resources. So it's clear. I would say it is strong. It is not 100% overlapping because, for example, saving plans and reservations and hybrid benefit, those are commercial techniques. They don't have any impact on the carbon emissions, but everything else does. And so there is, a strong connection, a very strong overlap, I would say 80% overlap from cost to carbon optimization. And we are engaged in projects with customers who want to do carbon emission optimization. So it's not about the cost, it is about the carbon emissions now. And when you say we're splitting hair, and I feel like I'm focusing on the wrong thing here. I always think about the disposal of garbage that you have to do in a very precise way. And when you do it, you think, why am I wasting time, you know, doing this, separating everything, the plastic, the metal, the paper. But then you think, okay, but I'm doing it so that the planet is better. So it is worth splitting air. That's my point. So even in the cloud, it is worth going to the tiniest bit, little detail, because this will result in less carbon emissions. And the whole point of doing any type of sustainability action is to not emit carbon in the first place. You know, we don't do offsetting, we don't do compensation, we don't want to, at least not as green ops people. We just want to lower the emissions that are produced in the first time. So splitting hair is totally worth it.
Yeah, and I really like that reflection as well. And, you know, Paula, both you and I worked with sustainability a bit in the past, and I really like, I think you mentioned on this, like, cost is a proxy for sustainability as well. So if you do lower your cost and you do drive cost optimization and you do drive your FinOps strategies the right way, the end result is most likely going to be that you become more sustainable as a result. So it doesn't have to be one big investment in sustainability, one big investment in driving cost projects, one big investment in something else, because if you do one, the other will kind of follow. So I think that's a good takeaway as well, to know that if you invest properly in FinOps in this case and cost optimization, a likely outcome of that is that you will start reducing your carbon emission through those kind of initiatives. So looking at the
Add something. If and I'm thinking, you know, on the application side and on the developer side, because we say in the cost optimization sessions that if you optimize your application, your database, if your application is smarter, is more cloud native, is more efficient, then of course you're spending less money and less carbon emissions. So it all boils down to properly developing good applications. So that's also aligned to reducing your technical debt. So now you have three KPIs for your good work in the application realm. You have carbon optimization, you have cost, and you also have technical debt, because at the end you will have a smarter, more modern application that will save you money and save the planet carbon emissions.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. That's, I love these reflections. Now I'm eager to go start with sustainability and cost optimization projects again. So next kind of question that I have top of mind, and this is circling back to like FinOps and the state of FinOps, and you know, what is the state of FinOps today? Is it a mature framework? Do we have like key priorities for people working in FinOps? What are the, like, if I just throw out a very holistic overview question, what is the state of FinOps today? Is it something that's being continuously worked on? Is it something that is evolving? Is it something that we can get involved with? And then to tie into that, is there any learnings from, you know, what people working with FinOps today are doing?
So I would say that the methodology and the process, you know, that the theory part is mature enough, because we have the principles, we have the framework, everything is clear, and it applies to all public cloud, so everyone is on board with that. So that is in a good place, I would say. The problem is, again, how to put it in action, because we have the theory, but then not all customers are able to then deploy what the theory is. And so overall, I would say that FinOps is now mature as a concept and as a framework, but its implementations are still very, very wide in very different in deployments and maturity and models. And it depends on customers, and it depends on the type of cloud, it depends on the application and how the application is using cloud resources. Because in some cases, the hard part is really to match what the application targets and KPIs are to what your cost budgets are. And so I'm not saying it is impossible, but it's very hard to apply FinOps to those cases. So that is where I see the most variation probably a lot of room to grow.
For the FinOps discussions that I sometimes have with customers, I might be looped in to consider some aspects. I feel it's virtual machines or compute instances in the cloud. That's probably number one consideration. And then quite often it's licensing, be it Microsoft 365 licenses, or be it Entra ID P1 or P2 license, or some additional things. But then the opposite side is that whenever you're looped into a discussion about generative AI nowadays or machine learning, nobody's asking that much about can we optimize the cost or what's the license. It's more like we need to get this done regardless of what the cost is going to be. Would you say there's anything else that you're perhaps hearing or seeing companies thinking beyond compute instances, licenses, that they want to optimize in FinOps?
So I think you also put your finger where it hurts most, I would say. meaning that if customers are working on virtual machines and storage, it means that their applications are still not cloud native. See what I mean? Because they're using virtual machine, they're using disks. I would love for these customers to use serverless, to use PaaS services, which are heavily optimized. And we have every intention as cloud providers to optimize them to 100%. So you can be sure that if you use a serverless service, that is probably the best optimization in terms of cost and carbon emissions. So we go back to the technical debt thing. If you don't have a plan to reduce your technical debt in your applications and don't know where your applications will go in the future, you just did maybe a lift and shift migration and basically moved your boxes from one place to another. Those boxes are never going to be better on their own. You need work on it. And then once you start working on it, you find out that your applications can be faster, with better performance, more reliable, and cheaper, and also save carbon. So that's the beauty of it.
Sounds good. Toby, anything else on your mind regarding FinOps?
I have a lot of things in my mind now about driving sustainability and cost optimization. Again, specifically to FinOps, I don't think I have any other kind of questions. I think it's a way to summarize it from where I'm sitting is FinOps is a structured way to drive cost optimization and cost management in your organization. Is that a good summary, Paula?
Yeah, on a regular basis. So that means always, because the moment you turn your head on the other side, someone else is spinning VMs and services in your cloud. So you have to do it regularly.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And that's kind of exhausted all the questions I had around this, because I was curious how to define FinOps and what it means. But I think you've answered all of that in detail very well. So anything else on your side, Jussi, that you want to ask?
Oh, no, the last thing I need to ask is the unexpected question to Paula. I've got one question lined up. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All righty. If FinOps were an Olympic sport, what would be the main event?
That is an easy one. It is a marathon. So it's the long run, because you really need to do some endurance training. It's not the speed of action of the 100 meters. You need to do the whole, 42 and point something kilometers. And so you need to plan ahead and, train your body to do the long run. So that would be FinOps for me.
Makes perfect sense for sure. Thanks for visiting, Paula. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. See you next week.
Thanks for having me.